It is a big pleasure and a privilege for Radio Miraya to have me here to talk about a very important subject, the subject of reform of the judiciary of South Sudan. The judiciary is one huge part of the state. The other parts are the executive, presidency, ministers, and civil service. The other arm, of course, is the legislature, parliament passed laws. But the third arm is the judiciary. And while South Sudan has been and continues to undergo transition in its governance mechanisms, we had neglected the area of judicial, the third arm. Now, the authorities have come to say that third arm needs and deserves to be looked at carefully so that we can reform it, take it through the transition into what South Sudan will need, transition of everything else, and justice. Because we are transitioning from a state of war, if you will, fighting, disputes, conflict. These will continue after the transition, and they will need a judiciary that is modern, equipped, trained, resourced, financed, able to meet the challenges post-transition period. So the Judicial Reform Committee has been here for almost 2 years now, working very hard within itself and with the people of South Sudan, groups in South Sudan, organizations, women, youth, leaders, political leaders, traditional leaders, religious leaders, everybody in the country, all across the sector, to find what is wrong, if anything, with the judiciary now. And how do we? And we took a methodology of, A, with the committee reading the literature on this, the legislation that's available, the policies that are currently in operation, which regulate the judiciary. When we were satisfied that we had sufficient knowledge and information about the present judiciary from reading the documentation and the history and so on, we embarked on consultations with the people, and we went to the states where the people are, away from Juba. And we covered a number of states and administrative areas. And we got the feeling and the views of the people on this topic. The third method was we then came back, piled all of that into a draft report. Then we embarked now on the final chapter, which was validation of that report. Again, we called everybody representative of the people of South Sudan. The vice presidents came to validation. The ministers, national ministers, state ministers came. Governors, speakers came from the states and from the central government. We had academia, professors of law. We had lawyers, the Bar Association, individual lawyers. We had the judges. We ended up with almost 100 plus people who came to Juba, and we sat conference for 3 days discussing draft report. They gave us more views. Generally, they accepted everything we had recommended, improved on something that we had recommended. Then the committee went back for another 2-3 days to incorporate the views of the validation. So what we have now is a final report that reflects the views of the committee members, the views of those people that we consulted in the states and so on, and ultimately the views of those who came to the validation. The recommendations we have made, there are too many to say them out. However, we can highlight. There are probably 2-3 kind of them. Some are very easy in terms of understanding. For instance, the number of judges is so little. We probably need 200, but what we have in the system is hardly 50. So we need almost 4 times to have ideal numbers in all the courts of South Sudan, from the Supreme Court, Court of Appeal, the High, and so on. Alongside that category of recommendations, we found that even the few judges that are still here, their welfare, their salaries, their allowances, their maintenance is very, very low. And this one does not encourage motivation to work We understand, for instance, that they haven't been paid for long times of time. Something like 11 months has been mentioned. I don't know if it's true or not. But the working conditions have been very poor. Alongside in that category are the working spaces, courtrooms, the residences of judges, cars, if any, offices, library, books are not there. So our recommendation that do a lot of putting all those things right. Category number two is bigger than that. Even when we have all the judges, those numbers we have recommended, would they be up to the job? Considering that we have gone through a transition for so long, do they have sufficient, adequate, and desirable training? Whether at university before they became judges, after they became judges, have they had any continuing education? Do they have specialized training? We have recommended specialized courts. It's easy to talk of courts generic, generally. If you want to be very efficient and effective, you may have to specialize those. For instance, commercial disputes are different from criminal disputes. They require different kind of training and equipment and so on. So we have recommended that we do undertake a number of specialized courts. Commercial land cases require very specialized attention. Military courts, of course, are different from civilian. Labor, this is employers and employees, is a very special, and so on and so forth, recommended. Apart from training, equipping the courts means things like computer. We are now in a digital age. Cannot continue to do business in the judiciary. And the benefits of computerizing are many. But basically, it makes life easier. It makes the operations more effective. For instance, you don't have to have witnesses brought from far, from Malakal, Juba. You can have their pictures taken in Malakal and shown here on the screen in the court in Juba. Makes work easy, less costly, more effective. But it requires to teach, train the judges and the pop so that they can be up to date. Now, that's one set of things. The other category of recommendations would go to creating new and more substantive issues, such as we, by the agreement, were required to set up a constitutional in South Sudan. We now have courts up to the Supreme, which deal with everything, constitutional issues, criminal issues, land issues, name them. But it was felt that we need a special constitutional, which will deal with only with the matters of constitution, to interpret the constitution country, to apply it. It would deal maybe with impeachment, president, if that ever came up. If we have elections and there are disputes about electing a president or a governor, those petitions should go to the constitutional because they are very fundamental. Relationships between the states and the center, they constitutional matter. Human rights issues, if someone feels that their human rights have been violated. International treaties, conventions, all that area is so basic. Country that they belong to the constitutional court rather than the ordinary. So we have recommendations on that. Equally, it's said that when the current constitutional making process takes off, ends, there will be issues of federal nature of governance. Will it be a deep federal, a slight federal? But with it will be the issue of what then happens to the court system. Should the courts also be federal and centralized courts, statutory courts? So we have recommendations on that issue,
as well.
Federal. Depending on what decided politically, then we offer recommendations, kinds of courts could have. In principle, it would mean that the federal courts will deal with the federal matters, the state matters. Each state had its own legislature and its own governor. Then the laws made there better be dealt with by the courts in the state, made by the state. If the federal is not that deep, then maybe we go what is current now. It will be one set. So those are new areas in which we have made recommendations. But the totality of all those things is a reformed judiciary for South Sudan. Maybe I would then end this way, that those reforms being many and some of them very fundamental, they would require to address the issue of implementation. It's one thing to recommend all these things, but how do you ensure that there will be implemented and implemented in time. So we have provided a set of recommendations on how these things should be implemented.
What are those?
For instance, there are some of these recommendations that will require immediate action, like appointing judges quickly, like providing welfare, their salaries, so on. Those should be addressed very quickly. Very quickly here may mean within 1 year, 1 or 2 years, and continuing. There are those like the Constitutional Court, which are required, and federal courts, which are required by the agreement to be established within the current transition. There's language to that. So maybe those, if the current agreement continues, may be required to be established very quickly before the transition ends, which means, as of now, before December 26. There are other recommendations which might take longer. For instance, constructing new court buildings and equipping the courts with computers and so on. And training judges. You cannot train a judge in 1 month. It's going to be a continuing thing. So some of those recommendations will take longer term, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, and even longer. If we are going to train judges, we have to start with the lawyers at university. What sort of education, legal education, are they getting at university, which will bring them into this new, modern, reformed judiciary, and then they take off. That will take 5, 6 years minimum. So in the implementation, we are recommending that these things be phased. Some of them immediate, short term. Some of them medium term to 5 years. Others longer term, maybe 5 to 10 years beyond. But we are also recommending that there be a specific task force made up of very effective people in the country, lawyers, administrators, political people, whose duty and obligation will be to look at all these recommendations, tell those who should implement them to do so. Many of our recommendations will require executive policy, changing the policies. The task force will tell the executive government, please do this policy, amend that, do something. Many of our recommendations would require making new laws or amending existing laws. That means going to the parliament laws. Again, this task force be responsible for reminding the legislature, parliaments, to do their job. Many of these recommendations will require to be put in the constitution-making process. For instance, you cannot create a constitutional without putting it in the constitution itself. Create it by act of parliament. Policy, it must be embedded in the constitution because it's a basic requirement. You cannot provide for these federal courts we are talking about without making them and parcel of the constitution itself. So there will be recommendations that need to constitution making, and this task force would have the duty to bring everybody up to date. I can see that some of these things will be carried out. I am confident of that because when we said to people, they were very excited about all these things. When we had the validation again, it was a full house. Everybody came. Ambassadors came, ministers came, vice presidents came, lawyers came, judges came, ordinary people came. And that to me was a message that they are dying for reform. So if they bring that enthusiasm to the authorities that have the power to make these reforms, then I can see that there is a chance of making those reforms. Maybe what we can also say here is that the totality of these reforms will require tremendous resources in terms of finance and budget. As of now, that may be a challenge, but over time, resources will have to be found. Because, and I want to end on that note, why are we doing all these reforms? Why is it important for the judiciary to be an effective mechanism in a country? Because when there are disputes, The civilized way to resolve disputes and conflict is to go to the courts of law. Then there will be peace. If you don't do that, then you leave this country to the risk of people being disaffected by decisions, taking up guns and going back to the bush, get a solution to their disputes. And God forbid, should that ever happen, then we may end up with a more costly way of solving our disputes than if we put our money into reforming the judiciary to resolve these disputes peacefully, harmoniously.